Praise God.
Amen. I think we've kept them. We've done pretty good with the time for the most part, at least on the messages. Stand with me. Stand to your feet. Hold your Bibles up in the air. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is,
my Bible is
the Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word,
God's
is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible,
I can defeat the devil
every single day. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is,
my Bible is
the Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word,
God's
is the revelation,
is
of His will for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I
can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I
claim it.
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, for the revelation you are about to impart to your people. And Father God, thank you for those who will receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. This is going to be the very last session in our series of teachings on miracles are for today. It doesn't mean that we're not going to teach you on this stuff again, because basically we are a church that is miracle oriented. And when I say that, I mean that we are totally and completely dependent on God's supernatural intervention. We are not ones who depend on our intellectual acumen, our ability to plan and make things happen. We are completely and totally dependent on God to make things happen. Glory to God. That means that this church is going to have to learn to pray more. We are going to have to learn to get together more. We are going to have to learn to fast more. We are going to have to learn to do those things that opens access to God to impart miracles into our lives. Regardless of what people tell you, God cannot just do anything willy-nilly. I've been working on a book. It's called, I can tell y'all because y'all my peeps. I've been working on my latest book called Does God Send Sickness? In which I'm dealing with a lot of the Old Testament scriptures that seem to make it seem like God sends sickness. And part of it is, of course, I have to study the 10 plagues that happened that God supposedly sent on Israel, on Egypt. And one of the things that you notice in it with each plague, before anything happened, before any plague came upon Egypt, Moses had to first go and lift up his rod. And then, when he did his part, then the plagues came upon Egypt. And when it was time for the plague to stop coming upon Egypt, Moses would again have to go to God, entreat God, or ask God to stop it, and then God's protective hand would come again and stop the plague. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, each one of those plagues had to come when Moses did his part, and each one of those plagues stopped when Moses did his part. Every time God did something supernatural in the earth, he did it through people. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so today, I want you to understand and to receive the power that God has made available to you so that you can be a channel of God's supernatural intervention on this earth.
Amen.
And today we're going to end this series by me talking to you about a controversial subject. It's very controversial because of some of the things that ministers have done with this subject that have made it difficult to preach on. At least I can say made it difficult for me since I've been to Rhode Island. Praise God. Ever since I've left New Covenant, I have really not, and we started this church, I don't think I've ever really talked about it to an extent until this year. I've thrown it out there, I've talked about it on an occasion or two, but I've never really taught it in depth as I've been teaching it in the Bible studies and as I'm going to teach it today in this last installment. And what I'm going to talk to you about today is the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Now, if you've been coming to the Bible studies, you're going to hear a lot of repeat, but it's necessary for me to repeat some things because some of y'all have not been coming to the Bible studies. So you need to hear some of these things again. And some of you who have come to the Bible studies and have heard some of these things, you need to hear it again anyway, because repetition is actually a good part of teaching. A lot of people want fresh revelation, but they're not doing anything with the revelation that they first got in the first place. Praise God. It's like me baking bread, and you smell the bread and say, "Ooh, that smells good." And then an hour later, you don't eat the bread, but you want some fresh bread. You need to do something with the bread that you first got and eat that, and then we can bake you some fresh bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, begin at verse 8. I know I got these on the PowerPoint, so we'll put them up on the screen for you. Okay, I don't have that one up on the screen. All right, praise God. Amen. That's fine. So, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. As we grow, and as the finances get better, we're going to get some, and we get more people working to do this without me having to do it, some engineers, we're going to get some of that software where when I'm preaching, the person can just put the Bible verse right up there without me having to do anything. Praise God. Yeah. There's some software out there that's like that. You probably see it when you're watching some of the larger television ministries. But Acts chapter 1, begin at verse 8. And this is after Jesus has risen from the dead, and he spent some time with his disciples before he's gone up and explained to them their mission and everything they're going to do. And so, you know, these guys, they done seen Jesus die. They done seen Jesus raised from the dead. And now they on fire and they ready to go. But Jesus says, "Oh, hold on, hold on." He says, "Stay right here." And then in verse 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power." Say power.
Power.
Say, "I shall receive power."
I shall receive power.
Glory to God. Now look at this. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now that word power that Jesus said that you, not just the disciples, but you shall receive, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. Now dunamis specifically means miraculous power, usually by implication of a miracle itself. That's the Strong's definition. It's miraculous power, usually by implication of a miracle itself. So God wants to give you miraculous power, praise God.
Amen.
And that only happens after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now you may say to me, "Well, Pastor Troy, I gave my life to Christ on January 10th, 1953, and I am saved, born again, and I have the Holy Spirit. So what are you talking about?" Well, I'm talking about something that's a little different than just your new birth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, God doesn't stop in just one process. God has more things for us after we have come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. For example, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ on July 22nd, 1984, I did not receive everything everything that the Holy Spirit has for me. Now, he came to live in me. He abided with me. I knew I was saved. I knew there was a change in me. So it was just something. After I prayed the prayer, I just knew something was different. Praise God.
Amen.
I knew that my whole life had changed. There were certain things I just could not find myself doing anymore. I told y'all the story how just a couple of days after that, some friends of mine asked me to drive them to the club, and, you know, and me being a nice guy, I drove them. I didn't want to go. I hated clubs anyway, but I didn't think anything was wrong with them. And usually when I went to a club, I could try to ask a girl to dance, and she said no. But, you know, I went to the club this time, and I just did not feel right. That's because I was a new creation in Christ Jesus, praise God.
Amen.
And then you had some beautiful looking girl come and ask me to dance with her. And where at a time I would have been tempted, this time it was like, sorry, I can't do it. I don't know why. I didn't tell her this. I just said this to myself. I don't know why. I just can't. So I wouldn't. Praise God. That's just because something was different about me. And something happened to you after you gave your life to Jesus Christ that was different. I became hungry for the Word of God. I began reading this book. Began reading it to my wife. Just went to every church service there was because I was so hungry, wanted to know more. And then one day, I was introduced to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And this was maybe about 8 months later. And God prayed, and make a long story short, the God prayed for me. He didn't pray. They didn't even get a chance to get to me because there was a long line of people being prayed for. And I just asked God, if you love me, give it to me now. And the next thing I know, the power of God came upon me so strong, and I began to speak in a supernatural language that I knew nothing about. Now, let me tell you something. Me and my brother, when we were kids, we could fake being able to speak in Spanish, you know, when we were playing little games with each other and stuff like that. This was not a fake thing. This was a language I had never heard or learned before and would not have known how to fake it, praise God.
Amen.
It was just something different, and I was able to speak in this language. Now, I was so excited about this that I got home that night, tried to teach this to my wife, and she looked at me like I was crazy. But I was so excited, I was just by my bedside just praying, and I was praying very loudly. Now, there was a lady who lived, a couple that lived next door to us. They were Christians too, but they went to a different church than we went to. But I was very good friends with the mother of the lady that lived next door. And so a couple of days later, she comes to me and she says, Brother Troy, she said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in speaking in other tongues? I said, I certainly do. And she said, you know, I knew it because she said, my daughter told me that one night, she said she saw demons just walking around her house in her bedroom. She was in the bed and her husband was at work and she saw the demons just walking around and she was so scared and she didn't know what to do. And she said, all of a sudden she heard you next door praying in other tongues and she said, then the demons just disappeared. Praise God.
Amen.
That's when I began to recognize, man, there's some power in this that I was not aware of. And so that led me on a journey to study this more, to understand it more. And as the Lord moved me and called me into the ministry about a little over a year later, I began to prepare to teach this to others, glory to the name of Jesus, and lead others into this experience. I've led a number of people into this experience. Even while I was in Rhode Island, just never in this church. And I'm the pastor of this church. So that's kind of a sad testimony to my pastoral abilities. And so that's why I'm going to try to rectify that today by at least teaching this to you. Now, I know that some of you have heard this already, and you know, as I was talking with Sister Martha, me and her have shared about these things on more than once. And I know that she has had a bad experience. She's not the first person I've heard that had a bad experience. As a matter of fact, I've been around some bad experiences where I would shake my head and say, don't do it like that. You don't, you know, don't, you can't force people. You can't I mean, you know, it basically, it makes this experience look bad, praise God. Mm-hmm. It makes Pentecostals look bad. When you go to churches that are, you know, it's not, now let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with a church with people dancing and praising and having a good time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think Victoria's Word needs to do we need to be a lot less dignified than we are sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
We need to, sometimes I think we need to do a little bit more dancing, a little bit more shouting, a little bit more screaming. We need to do some more casting out of devils. But see, sometimes what happens is people start swinging from chandeliers and start going crazy and making a disturbance. And then they blame it on the Holy Spirit. And you know, and people going around, you know, trying to force other people to do stuff that they don't want to do. And they blame that on God. Well, that's not God. Because God is a gentleman, hallelujah.
Amen.
God is a gentleman. He doesn't make anybody do anything. Now, what happens is, sometimes the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you might react in a certain way. You know, you might laugh. You might cry. You might just begin praising God. You might run around the church. Ain't nothing wrong with any of that. But it's when you try to make somebody else do like what you're doing, and then you try to... And then when somebody's not doing what you're doing, then you try to look at them like they're lower than you are. Well, they just ain't as spiritual as I am. No, they just ain't as devilish as you are. Praise God. I know that's hard, but it's true. Because if you got to force somebody to do something, that's being devilish. Now, however, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he is a gentleman. He imparts supernatural power, but it's totally up to you to receive what he wants to do in your life. Glory to God.
Amen.
It's totally up to you. See, as of this teaching, I'm going to be bold in teaching this to you. I'm going to give you an opportunity for me to pray for you, but it's up to you to receive it or not. If you don't, I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to look down on you. I'm not going to say, well, you know, you just don't accept what I believe you. You just don't accept the word of God. What you can do is do like many others have done. I've taught this in a church before, and a lot of people, because this was the first time they heard it, or they heard things against it, then they had to take what I taught them and study it out. And then some of them, after studying it, sometimes one person received it a week later, some people received it a couple months later, you know. It's completely up to you. All I'm telling you is to don't reject what I'm saying. Take the word of God that I'm giving you and study it. You think I'm interpreting this wrong or whatever have you, I completely understand. I'm not going to fault you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Because my job is just to teach. I am the mailman. I deliver the mail. Whether you open it and receive the package that's inside is completely up to you. Once I've delivered the mail, it is no longer my business. Amen.
Amen.
What you do with the package. Now, because I'm a pastor and more than just a mailman, I will hope that you receive the package and take it and utilize it.
Yeah.
However, I can't make you do that, but I do have my part in at least teaching this to you and explaining it to you as best as I can. So the first thing I want you to see is that God wants you to have the supernatural power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He don't want you just coming to church once a week or twice a week and just hearing a good message and don't have any power by which to live your life or any power by which to witness. But see, this says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, praise God.
Amen.
See, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just so you can speak in tongues and say, I'm a Pentecostal, and say, I'm so spiritual. No, it is for you to be a power-filled evangelist, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. With this power, you can move by God's Spirit And you can win souls to Christ not just through an intellectual conversation, explaining them the Romans road or whatever. You know, nothing wrong with those things, praise God. I've used the Romans road, all right? Nothing wrong with it at all. Or just passing out a tract. I passed out many tracts and continue to pass out tracts. But if somebody is in need of something, I now have supernatural power by which to impart that to them, and so they can see that God, that the God who wants to save them is real. Praise God.
Amen.
And so that's where God gives you supernatural power to be a witness. That word witness means martyr. Or another definition is someone who has seen and experienced the things of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God wants to give you the power, supernatural, miraculous power to see and experience the things of God. And you see and experience the things of God so that you can be able to tell somebody else what you have seen and experienced. See, you go out there and you share the good news, and you ain't a bit more saved than the man on the moon, or you just don't have, or you really don't have any real experience with Christ, people are going to know it, and they're going to slam you. And so you need power to be a witness. I thank God. You know, I remember one time when I went out witnessing about, I think it was like the first time, and I didn't have this power. And this guy, you know, we was in the military at the time, and me and my friend went to the barracks to try to share the gospel, and this guy was tearing me apart. First of all, I didn't know hardly anything about the Bible at the time, and I mean, he started asking me questions. I'm like, oh. And I mean, he was just ripping me apart. Thank God that my other friend walked up and helped me out and explained some things to him. But after I received this power, man, then nobody could get me anymore. Not that I had any great intellectual arguments, but I could tell them I've seen and experienced God for myself.
Amen.
And you need to see and experience Him for yourself. You can give me all kinds of arguments on why you don't think it's right, but let me tell you something. Until you see the power of God, I remember a young man that I used to witness to at work. And, you know, it was nice. You know, I'm nice. You know, I'm glad you're a Christian. I'm glad that you know Jesus, blah, blah, blah. But then one day, he came in looking down and depressed. So I asked him, what's wrong? He said, can we go outside? I took him outside, and he told me that the doctors found something in his personal area, and they thought it was cancer, and he was depressed. I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm gonna show you that God is real. I laid my hands on his head, and I commanded that thing to come off him in the name of Jesus. Amen. And a couple of days later, he came to me, he said, it's gone. Glory to God,
amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That Saturday, him, his wife, and another couple came to my house, and we had dinner, shared Jesus with them, all four of them gave their lives to Christ. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's because of the miraculous power of God that I had received. And the power is just like a battery that needs to be charged. You have to continue to charge this battery, because sometimes if I don't pray, and if I don't spend time praying in tongues, for example, then I don't necessarily always have the power necessary to perform the miracles that God wants to perform. Praise God.
Amen.
I mean, a lot of it has to do with people's unbelief too, but also sometimes people need to see a demonstration of the gospel. And so that's why God gives you the power of the Holy Spirit, and then he gives you the tongues so that you can continue to charge yourself up. Now, that saying all that, let me take you through a couple of scriptures. I want you to see that this experience comes with speaking with other tongues. You can't have one without the other. As I always hear Fred Price say, you can't have the water without the wet. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're going to have the water, you also got to have the wet. Praise God. So the two just come together. And I know that there are some churches that teach you that that you can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit without the speaking in tongues, and I don't disagree with that. I think sometimes people receive it, but they won't allow the Holy Spirit to give you the tongue. give them the tongue. But I can tell you right now, you can have both.
Glory to God.
And I don't have time to really get into all the controversial questions. If y'all want to hear about the controversial questions, come on Tuesday. Ask me all those questions. We deal with them on Tuesday. Today is just a message in which I impart this information to you. You receive or reject it today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, test question, open book test. Who did the speaking in other tongues here? Was it them or the Holy Spirit?
Them.
Them? Mm-hmm. They did the speaking in tongues? How many of y'all would agree with that? Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Yeah.
What if I told you you were wrong?
I would accept that.
I wouldn't accept it if I was you, because you were right. That's exactly what the Bible says. You guys were right. They did the speaking in other tongues. It was the Holy Spirit who gave them utterance. Praise God.
Amen.
Why do I need to point this out? Because the Holy Spirit, as I told you earlier, he is a gentleman. He will not make you speak in tongues. Praise God.
Amen.
What's going to happen, usually when I pray for people to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers them and then begins to work on their tongue. But he expects you to loose that thing and allow the flow to come out, praise God.
Amen.
Now, if you don't release your tongue to the Holy Spirit, he is not going to grab your tongue and make you do it. If that happens, that was a demon and that wasn't Jesus, praise God.
Amen.
The demons make you do stuff. The Holy Spirit gives you the opportunity to do stuff. But it's the Holy Spirit who gives you the utterance, but you do the speaking in tongues. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, let's look at another scripture. Acts chapter 10. Now, by way of background, a man named Cornelius was praying. He was a good man, but he hadn't been saved yet. And so he was, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Send for Peter, who's going to give you words by which you can be saved." At the same time, Peter was sitting on the roof. He was hungry. A vision came to him where all these forbidden meats, according to the Jewish custom, came on a sheet to him. And the Lord said, "Take and eat." And he said, "No, I can't." And the Lord, he said, "They're unclean." And God said, "Don't call unclean with that which I've cleansed." And right around the same time, the delegation from Cornelius, the centurion, came to him and asked Peter to come to his house and preach the gospel there. So Peter and several of the other Jews went to the house, and Peter preached. And then we get to this point. In verse 44 says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Praise God.
Amen.
So the Holy Ghost came upon these Gentiles, and it says that all of them, not some of them, but all of them spake with other tongues. All of them received the tongues, just like in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them, every single person in which the Holy Ghost came upon, spoke with other tongues, and the same thing happened in Cornelius' house. Everybody spoke with other tongues. That was what astonished the Jews that came with Peter. Because they sat there and said, "Why is it that these guys ain't even Jews. These uncircumcised people ain't even Jews, and they get the same privilege we got. So we won't even get into all that, but the thing is that they saw from the visible physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit come upon these Gentiles was the fact that they spoke with other tongues. Let's look at another passage, Acts chapter 19. Now, we're skipping Acts chapters 8 and 9 because chapter 8 is when Philip had went to Samaria and he preached the gospel there, did all kinds of signs and wonders, and the people got saved and they got water baptized. But then later the disciples came down there and laid hands on them and they received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But that scripture shows you that they were already saved before they received another endowment. But it doesn't say what supernatural sign happened to them. But and then you go to Acts chapter 9, where Paul also received the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say what sign happened to him. But when you get to Acts chapter 14, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than ye all. So obviously, Paul also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So Acts chapter 19. Well, sure, it's quiet in this Pentecostal church. But I do need, y'all just taking it in. Y'all just taking it in. Praise God.
Amen.
Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, it says, and it came to pass. Thank God it didn't come to stay. I heard Kenneth Coleman say that one time. Anyway, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? Now I want you to notice this. They were already believers, praise God.
Amen.
They were already believers in Christ Jesus. But and Paul, and they were already disciples. And that's why Paul was hanging out with them. But it seemed like he noticed something about them. He said, some of y'all missing here. You seem to be good Christians. Y'all some good Baptists. And they were Baptists. They were disciples of John the Baptist, praise God. He said, y'all some good Baptists, but something missing here. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And then they go on and say, and they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, which is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now they were saved, praise God. And they received water baptism. So I don't baptize unsaved people, amen?
Amen.
We don't have one of those, where the type of church I was growing up in where they didn't even give an altar call. After the message was over, now the doors of the church are now open. If there's someone who would love to come up here and receive the right hand of fellowship, let them take this stand now. Person comes up and pastor puts out his right hand, he shakes the hand, and then he says, Deacon so-and-so, Do you receive Sister So-and-so by way of Christian faith? Deacon So-and-so says, I do. And all the deacons say they do because they want that person's tithes. Praise God.
Amen.
So of course they ain't going to say, nah, I don't think she should come here. No. So, but we first ask you to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And then we baptize you. See, at the church I was going to, after Deacon So-and-so and Deacon So-and-so and Deacon So-and-so affirmed it, then they'd tell you, well, after we will baptize you on the third Sunday, God bless you, everybody shake her hand. And they shake the hand, person goes home, gets baptized on the third Sunday. No, you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior first. Mm-hmm. And then we water baptize you. And that's what Paul did. He water baptized them because they were already saved. Praise God.
Amen.
But then you go to verse 6 and look at what Paul says what the Holy Spirit tells us in verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, The Holy Ghost came on them. Now notice they were already saved. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All of them spake with tongues and all of them prophesied. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they spake with tongues and they prophesied. I want to show you a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to close this, and then I'm going to pray for you. And that those of you who want to receive can receive. Those of you who want to think about it, think about it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. I want you to see the benefits of having received this gift. Now, with or without this gift, you can build yourself up in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just found out from my experience that before I received this, I built myself up. But it took a lot of building up in the Word, a lot of study of the Word, and a lot of praying in English before I could really get a strong sense of God's presence. But with this, I can build myself up in a matter of hours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not that I always tell you about my prayer life, and I'm not going to, because I don't want to sound braggadocious, but I spent at least 3 hours this morning. Got up, woke up about 3 o'clock this morning, and spent about 3 hours this morning fellowshipping with God. But it was because I had this gift. Hallelujah. I could spend that amount of time, plus pray in English for you and make my declarations of faith and all the other things I was doing this morning. And then, after that, I was so tired I couldn't get up to take a shower. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Let me tell you something. One of the things about this prayer language is that you can have a conversation between you and God that even the devil can't get involved in. Hallelujah. The devil don't even understand what you're saying. "But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself." Say edify.
Edify.
That word means the person who speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself up. Praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes we can get discouraged. And sometimes I don't know what to pray for because my faith just ain't there. So I just start praying in other tongues. And I get recharged. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I'm talking about when I talked to you earlier about the battery. You get the power, but you need to keep recharging the battery. Praise God.
Amen.
And praying in tongues is the recharge. Is plugging into the Holy Ghost socket and recharging yourself up again with the power. "So he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edify himself." So you build yourself up. Turn with me to Jude 20. Jude talks about the same thing. Jude was one of the brothers of Jesus. One of the half-brothers of Jesus. One of Mary's sons. Jude is just before the book of Revelation. So, hey Jude, don't feel so bad. Jude, verse 20, there's only one chapter in Jude. It was a short letter. And Jude says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Praise God.
Amen.
You want to build yourself up? You feel discouraged? You need to get this experience. And you won't feel so down so much. You won't feel so depressed all the time. It's not to say that you won't get tempted to be depressed. I've been depressed before and after I received this. It's just that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Praise Jesus. Once I learned to exercise this gift that's in me, once I learned to pray in other tongues, then I could build myself up and I found myself a lot less depressed. Praise God. Now I'm going to show you one more scripture And I want you to, and this scripture is just basically on how to receive. It's so simple. It's so simple that even a caveman could do. That was a Jew. You are commanded to laugh at my jokes. I don't care how unfunny they are. All right, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Begin at verse 9. And it says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door, and it shall be opened unto you." Praise God. That's guaranteed answers to prayer. Praise Jesus. Amen. That just tosses away that idea about, well, you know, God may answer, he may not answer. No. He says, "Ask, and you shall receive." Glory to God. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Oh, I can just preach on this stuff for the rest of the day. "And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Will he say, hey, boy, chew on this snake for a while?" No, that's not your heavenly father. But, I need to point this out because some people will tell you, especially those who don't believe that miracles are for today, and especially those who don't like the Pentecostal message, will tell you, well, how do you know that when you asked God for that, you didn't receive a demon spirit instead? That's horrible. That's a horrible indictment upon God. Because if you ask God, let's say you ask God for guidance. You ask God, give me direction. Well, God's not going to allow the devil to interfere and give you the wrong direction. Amen? God, you ask God for direction, he will give you direction. You ask God for fish, he will not give you a snake. He will not say, boy, bite on this steak and hope you don't get poisoned. You ask God for bread, he ain't going to give you a stone. He ain't going to say, boy, chew on this rock. No. You ask God for bread, he gives you bread. You ask God for fish, he gives you fish. You ask God for the Holy Spirit, he gives you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. You can have confidence that when you ask for this, that when you begin to feel sense the supernatural power of God come upon you, that it is not a demon spirit coming upon you. Amen?
Amen.
And I have the Holy Ghost in me, so if I lay hands on you, you definitely don't get no demon spirit, because I don't have any demons in me. I cast them out of me a long time ago. Hallelujah. So I don't traffic in demon spirits. Glory to God. So, or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Not your God. Verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Praise God.
Amen.
God wants to give you the Holy Spirit. That usually comes with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You want to receive it? It's available for you right now. I'll lay hands on you. God will impart him unto you. I'm not the one that's giving it to you, praise God. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be laying hands on you. God himself, Jesus is the one that baptized you. I can't give away God's gifts. I can only be the channel of God's impartation. I can't heal nobody. I don't have the power to heal nobody. But I have the power of God in which he does the healing. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. He is the miracle worker. I am simply the channel and vessel. And you know what? He wants you to be his channel and vessel too. He don't want just preachers having this.
Amen.
He don't want just pastors being able to do this. The way this, when we want to see an explosion of growth, it's going to be all of us doing this. Praise God.
Amen.
All of us being involved in this. Glory to God.
Amen.
It ain't going to be, man, let me You sick? Let me come on to church or let me call my pastor. He'll come pray for you. And I'll do it. But it can be, you sick? Let me pray for you. Come off of him in the name of Jesus. And then bring them to church. They already healed. Praise God.
Amen.
And they come and they testify. Oh, man. Mother just came and laid hands on me and I got healed. And that's why I'm here today. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, God wants to bless you and baptize you with the impartation of the supernatural baptism of the Holy Spirit. So why don't you bow your head and close your eyes. Glory to God. Just bow your heads and just begin to pray.